live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your, what is it? Wow, Wednesday. Hump day afternoon. Yes, it is July 31st. Hard to believe that this is the final day in the month of July for the year 2019. The summer is just flying by. And you know, today is a day where I really wish we could just gather up all of the equipment, you know, and just take this show right outside because it's lovely. It's beautiful, folks. I mean, the sky is blue. It's not that humid outside. I mean, we're talking about like in the late 70s, maybe early 80s. You know, it's gorgeous outside. Gorgeous. So I hope you're soaking up the sun, folks. And thank you so much for soaking up the sun, hopefully, and having current sports on. All right. A lot to get to on today's show. A few topics I want to touch upon. As promised on the Tuesday edition of Current Sports, I want to talk about my Dallas Cowboys and what's happening with this whole Ezekiel Elliott holdout. And what it means for this, how shall I put this, new look NFL when you have a lot of players, more and more overtime. I really believe that Le'Veon Bell has begun a trend here. He has started a trend in the National Football League where players are looking at their contracts and saying, look, man, if the organization isn't going to look out for me, I'm going to look out for myself. I need to be paid more. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hold out. And I'm going to try and force your hand. So I want to address Zeke, who has still not showed up for Dallas Cowboys training camp. And also another brother who made the right move in holding out and now becomes the highest paid wide receiver in NFL history, Mr. Michael Thomas, who I did touch upon on yesterday's Current Sports. Of the New Orleans Saints, Michael Thomas now becomes the highest paid wide receiver in the history of the league. I'll give you the details of his contract and how that came about in just a moment, all right? Also, we will have representatives from Bike to Build, which is a fundraiser for Habitat for Humanity. And for those who participate, you help raise funds for Bike to Build in partnering with Habitat for Humanity to eliminate substandard housing here in Michigan. And you just grab your bike and ride, man. It's awesome stuff. We will have representatives from Bike to Build live here in Studio S. You don't want to miss that chat. Always love talking to them on a yearly basis about this great event for an even greater cause. And then on the back end of the show, I'll just touch upon some interesting words that basketball phenom Zion Williamson had to say about his NBA career and playing with one team for his entire career. Yeah, Zion Williamson hopes to be a Pelican for his entire NBA career. I'll comment on that and you'll get my thoughts on whether or not that take will last. All right. So, going to be a fun show as always. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can comment below the live stream there. And you can also tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News. Or you can tweet me directly at Al Martin
WKAR for this hump day edition of Current Sports. We've got our very own Jack Kerwin behind the glass as he pushes us along to our Current Sports quick hit headliners. Yesterday was the final Tuesday of the 2019 schedule of the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am. Desmond Ferguson doing an outstanding job with this Pro-Am every single year. And we now know the final three teams that will be playing on Thursday for a possible chance at taking the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am Tournament Championship. Team Roots beat Team Cosmic 106-100. That was the closest game. Team Citron beat Team Exclusive 102-79, the final there, so they move on. And Team Dimension beat Team Freeze by 11 points, 90-79, the final. So I'll have to take a look at the bracket, but one of those three teams that won yesterday will have a bye and will be awaiting in the championship game the winner of the other two squads. But Team Roots, Team Citron, and Team Dimension moving on to the final day of the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am Championship Thursday, this Thursday. I'm guessing it starts at 6 p.m. All right, Trey Burke, former University of Michigan star on the hardwood. He has a new home again in the NBA. The point guard, who in 2013 helped Michigan reach the national championship game and was also the National Player of the Year, he has signed a one-year deal with the Philadelphia 76ers. It is Burke's sixth professional basketball team since he was the ninth overall pick in the 2013 draft. So this may be a good move for him, a great organization that has tremendous upside. Philadelphia is knocking on the door of possibly making an NBA Finals appearance, and hopefully Trey Burke can help them. So there you have that. Five athletes from five different sports are entering the Michigan State Athletics Hall of Fame this fall. Football linebacker Dan Bass, men's basketball guard Mike Robinson, who I just saw at the celebration of life for the late, great Earl Robinson a couple of weekends ago now. Hockey forward Mike Donnelly, wrestler Tom Milkovich, and women's sprinter and track coach Karen Dennis all will be inducted on October 24th as a part of MSU's annual Celebrate Weekend. Milkovich, Dennis, and Donnelly all won national championships and were All-Americans during their time here at Michigan State. Bass still holds the school's single-game record and career tackle records and was part of the Spartans' 1978 Big Ten championship team, while Robinson still holds the MSU men's hoop career scoring record at 24.2 points a game. And it was really cool being at that celebration. And that was my first time actually meeting Mike Robinson and Magic Johnson. They're all sitting at this table together. Dale Beard is over there as well. And Magic, when he grabbed the mic before sharing thoughts about the life and legacy of Earl Robinson, he talked to about how Mike Robinson was the guy that he looked up to playing basketball in high school here in the Lansing area, and how he wanted to be like Mike Robinson, going to Michigan State and making Spartan history. So, awesome stuff. Congratulations to all five of these fantastic athletes who will be enshrined into Michigan State's Hall of Fame come October. All right. Michigan now has 24 commitments in its 2020 football recruiting class as West Bloomfield safety Makari Page announced his verbal to the Wolverines yesterday. Now, Page is an important addition in many aspects. He is an in-state recruit who is ranked as a four-star prospect by recruiting sites. He comes from a program the Wolverines have ties with, as head coach Ron Bellamy is a former Wolverine, and they have already, they already hold a commitment, I should say, from linebacker Cornell Wheeler. He is a player who brings versatility and size, 6'3", 190 pounds, to the secondary. He was also considering Big Ten foes like Ohio State and Penn State. And this one appeared to be trending away from Michigan at various points in the recruitment. But Jim Harbaugh gets his guy, and Makari Page will be a member of the Michigan Wolverines. All right, the Detroit Tigers, 6-1, the final, against the LA Angels, falling in that one. So no win streak for the Tigers after winning that first game in this three-game set against the LA Angels. The Tigers are now 31-72 on the year. And you can catch the finale of this series today at 4:07 p.m. Again, the Tigers on the road taking on the Angels. All right, and did you see this craziness? I woke up to this video. Quite entertaining, I must say. But wow. The Cincinnati Reds and the Pittsburgh Pirates continued their season-long feud last night and did so amid unusual circumstances. How unusual, you ask? Well, Yasiel Puig, he was throwing hands on behalf of his Reds teammates minutes after reports surfaced on social media that he had been traded to Cleveland as a part of a three-team deal for Trevor Bauer. Yeah, that was pretty weird. The nonsense began when the Pirates, well, I should say with the Pirates, throwing at Derek Dietrich, who pinch hit in the seventh. You may recall the Pirates' beef dates back to April when Dietrich, he had a home run. Dietrich admired, I should say, a home run he hit against them. That celebration led the Pirates throwing behind Dietrich, which resulted in the benches clearing. So Amir Garrett, Puig, they were each ejected for their parts in the afternoon. Keone Kayla as well. It was just insane. It lasted for, I want to say, about like 10 to 15 minutes. And again, very weird because, again, Yasiel Puig, he's trying to defend his Reds teammates. And then, you know, you find out just minutes later that he is now a member of the Cleveland Indians. Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. All right. Check out the video later on. Michael Thomas has reached an agreement with the New Orleans Saints on a 5-year, $100 million extension that includes $61 million guaranteed, making him the NFL's highest paid wide receiver. Thomas is now tied to the Saints for the next 6 years through the 2024 season and is set to make $1.148 mil this season in the final year of his rookie contract. He did not report for the start of Saints training camp as he sought a new deal. I'm sure he has a huge, huge smile on his face today. Also, Thomas was one of several high-profile players holding out for training camp, including L.A. Chargers and Dallas Cowboys running backs Melvin Gordon and Ezekiel Elliott. I'll have more on Zeke in just a moment. Also, Washington Redskins offensive tackle Trent Williams and Jacksonville Jaguars defensive end Yannick Ngakoue. So we'll see what happens when it comes to all of these holdouts. But more and more, you are seeing athletes say, I'm not going to training camp until I get a new deal or a deal I feel like I deserve. And again, more bad news for my Dallas Cowboys. Running back Zeke and the Cowboys are listed as defendants in a $20 million amended lawsuit filed yesterday in a Texas court by a man involved in a car accident, if you remember, with Elliott back in January of 2017. Now, a document generated by the Frisco Police Department shortly after the January 11th, 2017 accident showed the GMC Yukon that Elliott was driving ran a red light and struck the vehicle driven by Ronnie Hill, who is the plaintiff in the lawsuit. That document, obtained by USA Today Sports, noted that no injuries were reported and two airbags in Elliott's SUV actually deployed, while none were activated in Hill's car. Now, the lawsuit alleges that the Cowboys worked with police to, quote, cover up the severity of the accident to assure that Elliott's health would not be placed in question before their playoff game, end quote. The lawsuit also claims that the Cowboys owned the SUV, although two people with knowledge of the situation told USA Today Sports that the team did not own the Yukon. They were granted anonymity because of the sensitive nature of the litigation. So there's that drama taking place. Now, at first, Hill just wanted to sue Ezekiel Elliott for like $1 million. But he has since decided to go after the Dallas Cowboys as well for their involvement with everything and is seeking, as I stated, $20 million in this lawsuit. More on that in just a moment. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com. You can watch the live stream there, or you can comment right below it, as a few of you are already doing. And you can tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Again, happy Wednesday to you all as we keep on trucking and counting down the summer months. Football just a month away. College football just a month away. I still can't believe that. My goodness. Again, hope you guys have been enjoying your summer. Hopefully taking some time off, recharging the batteries. You know, that is what the summer months are for here in Michigan. And I love it, man. I love it. I'm about to get out and about and just go for a walk, do something outdoors. It's too beautiful not to. All right, in just a moment, we will have reps from Bike to Build, which is a fantastic charitable event in partnership with Habitat for Humanity, as they will talk about how you can be a part of that event and participate. It's awesome. I love having them in each and every year here on Current Sports to talk about it. But before we get to our guest, I want to talk about my Dallas Cowboys. And I'm rocking my Dallas Cowboys shirt today. You know, also a big shout out to Ben Grimes and the Grimes family, who showed up to the studio. Oh, what was that? Was that last week or 2 weeks ago now? 2 weeks ago now. And, you know, they wanted to meet Deshaun Tate from Atlanta, and they came in and, you know, we all took a photo and you know, AJ, Ben and Stephanie's son, he came in and gave me a little present, which you see on our live stream, a small little Dallas Cowboys helmet that's right in front of the Current Sports signage there. Because, again, I let it be known all the time that I am a huge fan of the Cowboys. Respect the star. All right. But, you know, right now I don't have too much respect for the star as a fan, though, because there has been a lot going on in these past few weeks that have just really turned my stomach. Primarily centered on this whole Ezekiel Elliott situation. And I may be in the minority in saying this, and I don't really, frankly, care. But, you know, Ezekiel Elliott holding out when he still has at least a year on his contract, it's just ridiculous to me. I get it, and I get it that, you know, we are embarking on an era in the NFL right now where more and more players are looking at their contracts, and if they're not happy, no matter how many years are left on the contract, they are saying, I'm not showing up to training camp, I am not showing up to work until you give me a new contract. And, heck, we just saw it really pay off for Michael Thomas as he now becomes the highest paid wide receiver in the National Football League, agreeing to a 5-year, $100 million deal. Show me the money. Wow. Now, I think that, you know, looking at it, I think this is a good deal for the Saints. You know, Michael Thomas is a game changer. Drew Brees is not getting any younger. You know, Drew Brees looked really old to me near the end of last season. He really did. And if you look at that Saints offense, they don't have a lot of weapons. You know, Alvin Kamara, great. But outside of Kamara and now, you know, Mark Ingram's gone now. Outside of Kamara, all you got is Michael Thomas, who was the most productive wide receiver in the game last season. So you pay him. It's not like you're keeping him for 10 years. You know, this is a 5-year, $100 million deal. So, you know, after this, you know, if he does decide to book out, you know, I don't think this, looking at the financial aspects of the Saints in this deal, this doesn't hinder them a lot. This doesn't tie their hands a lot. And again, frankly, I think that Drew Brees needs to help. He needs Michael Thomas to be successful. So more and more you're starting to see players do this. Ezekiel Elliott, it was reported yesterday that he is out in Mexico now training until he does get a new deal. Now, I saw this today. Josina Anderson, you know, who's a pretty big-time reporter in the NFL for ESPN. Josina tweeted out that she believes, well, she's hearing that Ezekiel Elliott is going to get a deal that may make him the highest paid running back in the game. This was actually, she tweeted this 23 hours ago. Quote, just received another positive update on Zeke extension status. Still needs time, but if things continue on same track, I expect Ezekiel Elliott to be the highest paid running back in the NFL across certain metrics. Jives with same tone I heard last Friday. Obviously, though, nothing is done until signed. So that's what Josina Anderson is reporting right now. We'll see what happens with this deal, but I want to put this in perspective as well. Because when you compare what's happening right now with Ezekiel Elliott's situation, and then I compare it to other players on the team, because I, and this is surprising too. The tweet that I read from Josina Anderson is very surprising to me, because yesterday I came on the show and I told you what Jerry Jones said. Famed Dallas Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones. Jones did an interview with a local television station and said that, quote, you don't need a rushing champ to win a Super Bowl today. And Jerry Jones is pretty spot on in saying that. You don't need a star running back in order to win a Super Bowl in the NFL that is 2019. And frankly, I'm here with it. I'm like, look, if they don't get a deal done with Ezekiel Elliott, I could care less. I get it. He's highly productive. He affects the game in a positive way when he is in that backfield behind Dak Prescott. But is it really worth it? That's what I ask myself. In the NFL that is ever-changing, where, you know, the game has evolved now. No longer is it a ground-and-pound game where you need, again, like Jerry said, where you need a running back to be successful and to move the ball. Is it great to have one? Yeah, without a doubt. But even in 2019, we are seeing running backs who are good at the ground-and-pound game also being used as receivers and in other ways. Not saying that Ezekiel Elliott can't do the other things as well, just as what happened to the Detroit Lions last season. All right? But holding out when you still have a year left on your contract, I mean, really. I'm in the minority in saying this as well. I think they should pay Dak. Pay Dak Prescott.
You're in the minority on this show on that one.
I know. I knew. How did I get? When I was prepping this morning, I said, I was writing this in my notes. I said, watch Jack buddy in right here. And I nailed it. I am like Nostradamus right now. I knew it. I didn't even have to turn my head. I knew that Mike was going to open and that Jack Kerwin was going to say something when I said that. Because Jack, we've had conversations, multiple conversations about, you know, how you're not a big Dak Prescott fan, but he is. Dak Prescott, he proved to me last season that he can compete against the elite.
Yeah, he actually, and, no, he did surprise me last year, too.
Oh, he was fantastic, Jack.
All right, all right, let's not get carried away.
I want to say this. In his last 8 games, Dak Prescott was 7-1. 7-1. I'll throw this out there as well. Oh, further numbers, though, when it comes to those last 8 weeks. Last 8 weeks, 7-1. You know, he had a blunder. Well, all quarterbacks have a blunder at some point throughout the NFL year. Just ask Tom Brady. They all do. But 7-1 to close out the year for my Cowboys last year. He had a completion percentage of 72%. He had a QBR hovering around 100. Dude was amazing. Dak Prescott, on many, many occasions, many, many plays throughout those last few weeks, put the team on his back. Also, what I love about Dak is, and you hear rave reviews, I'm reading stuff every single day from players about how Dak, he is just a leader. He is a leader. He's a guy you can rally behind. Playing the most important position in the league, putting up those numbers to close out last season, I feel like Dak Prescott is getting better. And you play for America's team. So why not pay Dak Prescott some of that moolah? Why not allocate some of that moolah to a guy like Amari Cooper, who was also a game changer for my Cowboys last season? And also what fascinates me, too, about Dak is that he did this amongst all of the controversy surrounding my Cowboys. You know, Jerry Jones coming out and basically threatening players to not kneel during the national anthem. You had Jason Witten, who retired.
Well, you know, Dak defended him on that, right?
He did. I know.
The Jerry Jones thing?
He did. I know. But this is the thing with Dak. And I totally disagree with him. And I came on the air and I went at Dak and said, come on, dude, really? Which surprises me, him being a black man in America, but that's a whole other topic for another different day. But Dak still went out there amongst all that controversy and all that buzz around the team, went out there and did his job, you know, and he got wins. And again, you know, so you had that controversy. You got the controversy with, Ezekiel Elliott. Remember when he was suspended 6 games, right? Dez Bryant leaves your team. Jason Witten retires. Your center retires. And he still goes out there. And if you look at it, look at the numbers. Dak Prescott, since he has entered the league, he has the second most wins of any quarterback since he has entered the league, Tom Brady being number one. So you look at the position of the running back and how it's evolving now. You don't need an elite running back to win a Super Bowl today. Hey, just ask, who is the highest paid running back right now? Jack, Todd Gurley. Did he do anything in the Super Bowl?
Oh, he was hurt. Year? He was playing injured.
True, but still, throughout the playoffs, Todd Gurley's production was in. It wasn't overly impressive.
Okay,
dude.
But he was the best running back in the NFL last season.
He was, which, again, that position is evolving now, though.
Yeah, I agree, but I mean, there's still...
You do not need a star running back to win anymore. It is a, you know, fly-and-by kind of league, man. Just let it fly, dude. That's what this league has turned into now.
Well, I agree with that, but you can still win with a bell cow
for sure.
Like Todd Gurley or Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, it helps. It helps, man. I mean, it helps when you got a star wide receiver as well. You know, if you got a guy like Amari Cooper or Michael Thomas, it helps when you got a great tight end. But I'm saying the value of the running back position as a whole, don't really need it.
No,
it was a need back in the 90s.
No, I agree with that. But, I mean, if you already have Zeke Elliott on your team, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, why wouldn't you keep him around for that exact reason? Because he is a great player.
He's got a year left. And the money that he wants, I'm just not willing to do that.
Oh, I don't think I would either because, you know, the maturity issues, he's been named in like 5 police reports the last 5 years. And, I mean, if we're being honest, to the point you just made, he's only 24 years old, but he's been a bell cow the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how much does he really have left in the tank, even though he'll only be 25 years old next year?
Right.
I think that's a valid question, but... I mean, you know Jerry Jones loves him for one, so I mean, I think he's going to get his money.
He's going to. Jerry Jones always, always gives in to the player. Even when I saw him on this local interview saying, you don't need a rushing champ to win a Super Bowl. Even when I'm reading and I'm watching it, I'm like, I don't believe you. Why don't you just give in? You're saying this now, but just wait. I give you a few weeks, and you'll hear Ezekiel Elliott coming back from Mexico to join the Dallas Cowboys, record deal, highest paid running back in the league. That's what's going to happen. And I trust Josina Anderson's reporting on this as well.
So with that being said, you're complaining about Jerry Jones a whole lot in this segment. Would you be willing to do a one-for-one trade for Martha Ford? I would take Jerry Jones running the Lions all day.
For Martha Ford, huh?
Yeah, one-for-one.
I can't say
Jerry's a bad owner.
He's not a bad owner.
He's not a bad owner.
The Cowboys just hit number one on Forbes again.
He's a jerk. You can say he's a jerk.
They are the most
Not a bad owner.
They are the most valuable. My Cowboys are the most valuable franchise in the nation.
And he's won several Super Bowls owning the team.
Several Super Bowls. Yeah. I get it. He annoys me sometimes for a lot of different reasons, which I'm laying out right now. But again, and final point, the headache that Ezekiel Elliott is, though. Just like you stated, Jack. The domestic violence situation at Ohio State that earned him that 6-game suspension. The video of him pushing the security guard at the music festival. And now this situation about a car accident in which the individual who was involved on the other side of this accident is saying that Cowboys personnel came and tried to cover it up. And it's unneeded drama. It is a distraction. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will have reps from Bike to Build live here in Studio West. That and more. You are listening to the Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You know, Jack, I got excited yesterday, dude, because I got an email from MSU Athletics, and Mark D'Antonio will be speaking tomorrow at 12:30, his first interview of Michigan State football training camp.
Wow, awesome. I'm sure a lot of scintillating audio will come out of that interview.
You know how Mark is. Mark
or
is
any
a guy
coach.
Who plays it by the book, man.
Yeah, or any coach, really.
Right, exactly. Thank you.
So or 99% of coaches.
He's one of many. He's one of many who don't – they're not going to give you anything sexy, but he does talk at 12:30. It's just exciting that, you know, college football is right around the corner.
Also, 100%.
And also Media Day will be Monday. Oh, boy, 2 weeks from now. So Monday, 2 weeks from now, Media Day will be taking place. The offense and defense will be talking. Mark D'Antonio will have a long, long press conference. So it's just exciting, man.
You know, let me just say this real quick. Yeah. Not even talking about Michigan State, but talking about the Lions, because I'm sure you touched on it yesterday. Lions training camp kicked off, I think, last week. I am so in on Jelani Tavai, it's not even funny. Everything I'm seeing on Twitter about this new linebacker, about how great he's looked in practice,
yeah.
I'll say right away, top five linebacker in the NFL as a rookie this year.
Stop it, Jack. Are you crazy?
Of course. I'm not serious.
Dude,
but
we didn't hear... We heard rave reviews, though. Remember Jared Davis when he got
drafted?
All
right, don't remind me. All right.
Yeah, come on, man. Just stop it. I tell you.
The Lions have a camp darling every single year, and sometimes he turns into an okay contributor. Other times, not so much. But
that's true. All right, Jack. I'll let you live right now, man. Just wait until it kicks
elite.
Off.
Elite.
Right?
Yeah. Elite linebacker.
All right, folks. Okay, let's get to our guests for today's Current Sports. We have them on every year to talk about this amazing fundraiser that is for a great, great cause. And right now I want to welcome live in studio as here at WKAR's Current Sports, representative for Bike to Build, actually executive director of Bike to Build, L. Quinn Lincoln-Keon. How are you doing?
I'm fabulous. Thanks for having me again.
Definitely. So good to see you.
And
I want to just kind of talk about how this thing has grown mm-hmm. over the years. And just, I mean, it's got to be so gratifying to see it grow and more and more people get involved, right?
It is. It's what's really amazing. We offer, you know, 20, 40, 50, and 75-mile routes. Mm-hmm. The 75-mile routes are the ones that are growing the most.
Right.
These are serious bicycle people, you know?
Right, right.
And, you know,
so they're all in. It's not like they're riding like 10 miles.
Right,
they're like,
exactly.
Give me the 75 miles.
That's right. That's right. Get there early and, you know,
right.
Off they go. We offer some of the best rest stops in the universe. Homemade cookies, pickles, you know, all the stuff that those bicycle guys need and gals need.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, it's and real bathrooms, not porta potties. So, you know, we have a really great system. It's perfected now.
Right.
And we have a lot of people that have come back year after year after year. We've seen little kids grow to, you know, to riding, you know, being on their parents' bikes to now riding their own bikes. And it's very cool. And they're doing 75 miles at 10 years old.
Wow.
What's up with that?
That is awesome. That's a great way, again, especially for kids today who just like to sit inside on their cell phones and video games, right, to get out and bike. I mean, that is awesome, awesome stuff. So
exactly.
For those who may be listening right now that don't know what Bike to Build is, just kind of give us the background on exactly what it is.
Sure. It is Central Michigan's premier street ride. That's what we that's what we call it. You bike, we build. So basically, you're coming out and you're doing a bike ride, whether you're going to pick the 20-mile, you're going to do something a little bit leisurely, or you're going to go for the 75-mile and, you know, make a day of it.
Mm-hmm.
All the proceeds go to benefit Habitat for Humanity and the projects that we're doing, whether it's building houses, building wheelchair ramps, doing repairs, neighborhood revitalization, whatever we're doing, that's what it benefits. So, you know, you get to feel good while you're feeling good. Riding, you know, so it's pretty cool. The roads take you through Clinton and Gratiot counties,
right?
So it's a beautiful trip, and you know, it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome stuff, yeah. And it will be taking place, I believe, this Saturday.
This Saturday, yes,
right?
Yep. Registration is from 7 to 10, so you come in any of those times, and if you haven't already pre-registered, come on and register, and we'll be there, and it's fun. Like I said, it's fun.
It is great stuff, and I've seen some videos on YouTube and social media of those, you know, participating, and all you need is a bike, right?
And a helmet. Don't forget your helmet. That's right.
Don't forget your safety first.
Absolutely.
Current sports listeners, all right?
That's right.
So this Saturday, and you can choose, you know, what mileage you want to do. How much is registration?
$35.
$35.
Yep.
And will you guys be doing on-site registration as well, so they don't have to do it early?
Yes, you can do on-site registration, and that includes your lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, this start, finish, and lunch takes place at North Point Community Church in DeWitt,
right?
Out there on Webb Road. And the folks in the church help, and they bring salads and some really yummy stuff. So you will not go away hungry. You will not go away thirsty. And when you finish your ride, it's at an air-conditioned place. So how cool is that?
That is awesome, especially in this heat.
Right.
That is summertime in mid-Michigan,
right? Right,
right. That is awesome stuff. And this is raising proceeds for Habitat for Humanity.
Yes.
And you all have been doing awesome, awesome stuff, helping out those who are less fortunate when it comes to housing and other repairs and needs in their respective lives. What projects are you currently working on with Habitat for Humanity in local community?
So we have a build that we're about to start in Ithaca.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start our second build in St. John's later on this year. We're doing wheelchair ramps. We're doing critical home repair. And we're actually doing we just finished two roofs in St. Louis up in Gratiot County.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be doing a couple of Rock the Blocks, which are some neighborhood revitalization, which includes anything from like raking leaves and cleaning up yards to building wheelchair ramps to, you know, helping those folks who own houses, but they just need a little bit of help. So,
wow.
Yeah. So Habitat is more than just building houses. You know,
right.
we're a whole lot more. And, you know, kudos to our volunteers and to all of our sponsors. You know, we just couldn't do it without all of them, and to everybody that supports us and prays for us and all of that. We're just, you know, we're eternally thankful.
Well, I tell you what, you're doing God's work. It's awesome stuff. Again, we are speaking with L. Quinn, Leek, and Keon, Bike to Build Executive Director, telling you about Bike to Build, an event, a great event, raising money and moolah for Habitat for Humanity, and you can be involved. All you need is a bike. Come on out, register, get in shape. It's a great way to get in shape, too, right?
It is.
I tell you.
And let me tell you this. If you're training, if you're planning on doing the Del Mac, this is a great training experience.
There you go.
So, because, you know, that's a pretty long ride. Hey, go ahead and do the 50 or the 75. We'll get you in shape for that. So
good preparation for that.
That's right. That's right.
That's awesome stuff. And I'm curious, you know, Elquin Lincoln Keon, how did you get involved with this kind of work? And why is it so dear to your heart?
I've actually been an executive director since 2000. This is my third Habitat that I've been with. Mm-hmm. I love what Habitat does. It is not a giveaway program. So our partner homeowners put in hundreds of hours of their own time into the construction and other ways with Habitat. So they're learning skills. They're learning, you know, about how a house goes together and being able to repair things as well. They're learning about budgeting and home maintenance, neighbor relations, and all of those things. And then when it's done, they sign an affordable mortgage.
Right.
So this is not a giveaway program, which is very, very cool. Because a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I would like to do this. I'm the working poor. You know,
right.
that's typically who we are helping, are the working poor, the people that just can't get ahead. They can't save 20%, a down payment for a house. And so these are the folks that really, really need safe, decent, and affordable housing. And then same with, you know, elderly folks who own their house. But, you know, every ounce of their money is going toward medicine and, you know, their normal costs, and their income isn't going up.
Mm-hmm.
And they need a wheelchair ramp, or they need, you know, handrails to get down, you know, from their house, or, you know, minor repairs on their exterior.
Right.
We're there to help all of those people. And that's how can you not love that? I mean, housing is the pinnacle of a family's security. And I say family, meaning whether you're a single person, whether you're elderly, whether you're married, whether you have children or not, all of those people, everyone at the bottom line deserves simple, decent, and affordable housing. And that's what Habitat is all about. How can you not love that?
I'm wondering if you could share a story of some of the families you've worked with over the years that are really, you know, a story that's really dear to your heart that makes what you do so worthwhile. Can you share one for us?
Oh my gosh, I have goosebumps because I love to be able to share some stories.
Please
I have
do.
Oodles. Here's one of my favorite stories. So I had one of our partner homeowners, mom, dad, and three children. The dad was about 7 or 8 years old when his parents divorced. And for whatever reason, his younger siblings went with his mom. He went with his dad. His father was not a migrant worker, but he traveled from farm to farm wherever there was work.
Mm-hmm.
He said he never knew when he got home from the bus, on the bus, whether his dad would have the station wagon packed and they'd be on to the next town. And that was the last time he'd ever see those kids again. He said, I never had a favorite teacher. I never had a family doctor. I never had relationships. I had no clue what that meant. And he said, he sat on, you know, when we were building, getting ready to build, and he said, what's this thing right here? And I said, that's your porch. And he was from Ohio, Southern Ohio. And he'd say, baby, come on up here. That was his wife. Baby, come on up here. And his wife went up there and he said, look at this. This is our porch. And we're going to grow old here, and we ain't never moving.
Wow.
And you know what? They are still in that house today, and they ain't never moving.
Oh.
And, you know, they gave their children the stability that he never had. And we have countless people that is the same story, whether they've moved once every year or 18 times in 1 month, as this one person had done. 18 times in 1 month. You know, how do you...
In
1 month.
30 days, 18 times.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
How do you create any stability?
Right.
And just think of, you know, having to make friends over and over again, struggling because what this school is teaching something else, trying to fit in constantly through your whole life, creating that stability. Let me just tell you one
Please.
Small little quick thing.
Yeah.
So Representative Ben Fredericks is representing Owosso area. He grew up in a Habitat house. And he tells this story about how, you know, his father was part of the working poor. And, you know, he said he kept all of his toys and everything in a box and he kept it under his bed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the day they moved into their Habitat house, he could finally get rid of the box because his life changed. And where is he today? Not everybody's going to be a state representative, but everyone's life is going to change through the Habitat experience. That's why we do what we do.
Oh, that is Awesome, awesome stuff. I tell you, again, if that didn't convince you to get involved, you don't have a pulse, my friend. All right? Again, L. Quinn, Lincoln Keon, Bike to Build Executive Director, Bike to Build taking place this Saturday. Again, please remind folks where it's going to be at and how they can show up.
Yep, North Point Community Church at 505 East Webb. Registration is from 7 to 10. Come on out, $35. We do want to thank our sponsors quickly, MSU, FCU, MPC, Meyer, Mala, Jackson Hayes, Leslie and John Salemi, and a whole slew of others. We are so appreciative. And Main Street. I'm sorry, and Main Street. Yes, Main Street Pizza in St. John. So we are just absolutely tickled pink that all of those people have said, hey, we want to do something to change some lives. And and then we have a bunch of individual sponsors as well. And of course, all the churches who host our rest stops along the way so that we have real bathrooms and real cookies and real fruit and real pickles and all of that. So
if you get tired, there are plenty of stops, plenty of rest stops. And you can fuel up on cookies.
That's right.
I mean,
come
on now.
And we have SAG service, too, which is important to bike riders. So, you know,
exactly.
So in case you get to a rest stop and go, you know what, I can't make it back. We'll call us and we'll come pick you up and you can come back and have lunch. So
that's awesome stuff. And yes. I'm curious, how many bikers show up on an annual basis on average?
It depends. Typically, lately it's been around 100.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good. We've had as many as 200 before. So, you know, it all depends on the year and what people's schedules are and that kind of stuff. So come on out, even if you can only do the 20 mile, come on out and support us and have a good time. I know you'll be happy.
Oh, boy. It's such a great cause. It's been such a pleasure having you on Current Sports. She never likes to come on the air, but I am at least going to acknowledge her because she sets this up every single year for you guys to come on and talk about this.
Yep.
But the great Dawn Parker, thank you so much, Dawn. She's sitting right here in the studio if you're watching on the live stream. But L. Quinn, Lincoln Keon, thank you so much.
Thank you. Outstanding stuff.
Go on out and support, folks. And we'll be reminding our listeners.
HabitatClinton.org.
HabitatClinton.org.
HabitatClinton.org, and then you can find out all the information.
We'll put that on our website when we post today's episode as well.
Perfect.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. I appreciate it.
Yep. Anytime.
Yep.
All right, listen, our final break, Jack, and when we come back, we will put a bow on this Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. WKAR's Current Sports. How fantastic was that, right? L. Quinn, Lincoln Keon of Bike to Build, the executive director of Bike to Build, joining us here on today's Current Sports. And apologies, you know, I'm just now seeing that my live stream went down. Thank you, technology, I tell you. Live stream went down in the middle of that chat. But again, you can listen to the audio version of it. We'll have the podcast up and running later on today. So, but thank you guys so much to Dawn Parker and L. Quinn, Leek, and Keon. That was a fantastic chat talking about Bike to Build. Again, you just basically take your bike out, you know, register, and you can ride for, you know, a certain amount of miles. And that money that you use to register goes toward Habitat for Humanity, which is dedicated toward building homes and, you know, other things like, you know, ramps for the handicapped. Around the community, you know, it's an absolutely fantastic cause. All right, folks. As we close out today's Current Sports, you know, I do just want to comment on a statement or a quote coming from Zion Williamson. Now, if you've been living under a rock and don't know who Zion Williamson is, he is the famed Duke Blue Devil, now former Duke Blue Devil forward, who was drafted number one overall in this summer's NBA draft to the New Orleans Pelicans. And, you know, he talked to Complex magazine about his career in a Pelicans jersey. And this is what he had to say. Williamson said, quote, "Growing up, I loved what Kobe did and Dirk did. My intentions are to stay with the Pelicans my whole career, but if something happens, I would not leave because I hate the place. It's just business." So he also goes on to say that, you know, he would like, and these two talked about this when they were in college, he would like maybe to one day play with his former Duke Blue Devil teammate and R.J. Barrett. Now, that wouldn't happen until, like, sometime in the year 2020. And this is what Williamson said concerning that. Quote, "Barrett and I kind of talked about it as we were both going to get our careers started and seeing how it goes. I mean, if we can possibly link up in the future, that would be great." So, just a couple of points. I think, first, that this is great to say, and this is a very good look for Zion, who is beginning his career with a great organization. I think New Orleans, I think if you look at next year and you look at that roster, even though they lost Anthony Davis to the L.A. Lakers, I love what they got in return. And this roster is pretty impressive and one that is going to make the NBA playoffs come next season. And, you know, the fact that – and I could see this with Zion as well, because Zion seems – he seems like, you know, a guy who it's just so even keel. You know, I don't know if, you know, when you look at Zion's personality, you know, I could see him making the statement that he wants to have a long career with one team. But just wait until he gets a little taste of the NBA. You know, this is all fine and dandy as an incoming rookie in the league to say, but as time goes on, and you start to learn more and more about the business of the NBA, and you start to see more and more superstars, you know, hop on different rosters to create super teams. And if Zion does not have great success winning-wise with New Orleans, you better believe that the thought is going to cross his mind, and he may have some people around him that say, hey, you ever think about going to a bigger market? No, maybe going to L.A. or maybe going to New York or going here or going there. You know, this is great to say, but Zion is so green to the NBA that this is kind of expected. I don't think this opinion of him trying to have a long career with one team is going to last. What say you, Jack?
Well, I mean, it all depends on how much success he has in New Orleans. But with that being said, I mean, I would imagine when Anthony Davis got drafted, he never had any intention of playing anywhere other than New Orleans. And I mean,
right.
I think that can be said about every rookie. You know, you have a certain loyalty to the team you're drafted by when you're first drafted that you don't think about playing anywhere else. That being said, New Orleans hasn't exactly been known to be a great organization in recent years. And I mean, I think it's pretty fair to say that they're kind of the little brother of the Saints in that town. You know, it's the same ownership group, but
right.
You know, the Pelicans don't have the same priority that the Saints do in New Orleans. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, but I take absolutely nothing from this statement. You know, we'll see if the Pelicans have success with this young core. And if not, you know, Zion could get frustrated and might want out.
Exactly. And we've seen other superstars. I remember Anthony Davis when he was drafted by the Pelicans, he didn't come out and say it like Zion said it, like, yeah, I want to play my entire career with the Pelicans. But Anthony Davis was all in on New Orleans. And then slowly but surely that opinion changed because of the lack of success that this team had on the hardwood and Anthony Davis feeling like they didn't surround him with enough pieces and he wanted to win. You know, and then the superstardom of playing in a, you know, just the attention that comes with playing in a big market in the National Basketball Association, you know, just as LeBron, you know, he went from Cleveland to a big city like Miami and now the glitz and glam, well, then back to Cleveland, won the championship, and then now the glitz and glam that is L.A. And he's so marketable. That's the thing about Zion, too. He is so marketable. You know, he's got a million-dollar smile. Everybody loves him. You know, the thought will cross his mind at some point, what if I put this package somewhere else, the Zion Williamson brand, in a bigger market and see what kind of magic can happen somewhere else. But and then this whole possibility of linking up with R.J. Barrett. And, you know, he's going to be balling out for the New York Knickerbockers, which is not a great NBA organization. But we'll see. But if anything, Zion even won more fans out in New Orleans by saying this, because now New Orleans fans are looking at him and saying, oh, my goodness, he's with us for the long haul. We love you even more, Zion, especially in this league that is mobility today. So, all right, to close out the show with 2 minutes left, Ray from Indiana is on line one. Ray, what's up, my man?
Skipper, hey, I've been calling Dan Patrick's over like 5 years. They took it off the air up here a year ago, and I've been calling. I couldn't get an answer, and I've been bugging them about Kurt Warner. They said Kurt Warner was on there Friday, and it's been 6 years since he signed that contract for the movie about his story. They said it's 2 to 5 years away still, but he's good, definitely coming out.
Really? So they are really going to make this Kurt Warner movie that you have been...
Yeah, they're going to make it, but he said it'd be 2 to 5 more years. Christ, I can't believe it. That takes 10 years then.
Hey, that's
it's
show business.
It's been 6 years he signed it.
Yeah, that's show business. Because you know how Hollywood is sometimes, Ray. I mean, they want the script to be compelling. They'll stretch some of the truth because you want it to be a compelling story.
Hey, you know, another thing.
Yeah.
I call Paul Feinbaum all the time about Michigan and rip him on the TV all the time, and he announced, he said, I may be gullible, but I'm going to believe in Jim Harbaugh is going to win the Big Ten title this year because Ohio State has got too much chaos going on with their coaching staff.
Oh, okay. All right. That's interesting. You called a Paul Feinbaum show. All right. That's interesting.
Yeah, I call him all the time. He lets me rip him all the time.
That's awesome stuff.
Like you do.
I'm going to have to tune in and check out a guest appearance of Ray from Indiana on Paul Feinbaum's show one of these
days. I'm going to need to do this, too. This is awesome.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. Hey, did you get a chance to watch that movie about Africa, about the lions so close to that Jeep and everything?
No, I have not. I'm going to check out that video later on. We got just 30 seconds left, but I promise I'll check that out today, Ray.
Yeah,
all right?
You got to check it out, man. They were like 5 feet from him, and the Jeep was wide open.
All right.
One of those lions would have fell, jumped in there, they could have ate two or three of them.
Oh, boy. Ray from Indiana. Ray, thank you so much.
Jim would just would have put him on the disabled list, wouldn't he?
Ray from Indiana. And that is how we end this Wednesday edition of Current Sports, folks. We'll see you Thursday, and be easy, people.